Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can. Independent of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host, retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners out there on today. Yes, you are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida. I am excited to have all of you listeners tune in on today's show. Yesterday, we have another exciting show for you on today. And before we get started, as always, let us bow our heads and begin to have our opening prayer. If the co-host is now on, she may begin our opening prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you and we praise you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we lift you up today and magnify your name. We give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. Father, we thank you for you blessed us in the beauty of this brand new day, and you carried us all through the day to bring us to this evening, to this very place and point. And God, we give you all honor, glory, and praise. And we thank you for the speaker today, as what he has to share will be a blessing, not only to us connected here, but to those that are on the line. God bless you and God keep you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, listeners. Now, remember, listeners, you too can join in on this awesome topic on today with our special guest on today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts and expressions on today's topic, as well as if you want to give encouragement to myself, the co-host, and to our special guest on today, who is none other than anointed man of God, Reverend Dr. Kenneth E. Thompson, the pastor of Pleasant Vine Missionary Baptist Church here in the city of New Orleans. Yes, listeners, today we have an awesome topic that he has prepared for you all, and I pray that God would move in a mighty, mighty way, that he would have his way on this radio show on today. Today's topic is the four spiritual laws. And before we get into our topic on today, or even the emphasis on the topic, let me bring now live into the studio with me our special guest for today. Good afternoon, Dr. Kenneth Thompson. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, evangelist, and I pray that you're doing well, and Sister Doris as well. We're doing great.
God bless you. We're so excited to have you on Facing Your Fears radio talk show on today, and we know that God is going to move in a mighty way, and we just want to encourage you on today just to have your way and let God just take control of your lesson on today. And remember that God is in control. God bless all of our listeners on today. Without further ado, we will now yield to our special guest whose topic on today is the four spiritual laws. I ask that you keep the family, the Harris family, in prayer. I lost my goddaughter this morning. She didn't wake up. They went to wake up to go to her funeral. at Charbonnet Funeral Home. As they were bringing her aunt out to bury her, they were bringing her in the funeral home to process her, for her body to be processed. So we know that it's praying time, listeners. It's not playing time. It is praying time. And we need to get connected with God. And keep me in prayer as well. There's been so much death. And I know some of our listeners know that we all have been going through a period of illness and sickness and death since the pandemic has been around us for over a year now. But we ask that you keep everyone in prayer, including your families and yourself. Today's topic, the four spiritual laws. The question is asked here in this lesson on today, what are the major principles that govern our introduction to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? The first principle will be that Dr. Thomason will be dealing with present emotional relationships to God and our future with him. The second principle will be discussed on today, be dealing with the nature of a man and the negative consequences of that nature. The third principle will be concerning God's way for people to avoid those negative consequences. And the fourth principle is a detailed refining of the third principle. The fourth principle also includes a definition of faith and the necessity of repentance and a description of the ultimate Christ life as attached, as well as a personal prayer describing the ultimate life. Without further ado, I will now let our special guest introduce himself with a small bio about himself.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Chatman. And, of course, we will keep you in prayer and get others to pray for your situation as well. I'm Pastor Kenneth E. Thompson, pastor of the Pleasant Zion Missionary Baptist Church, where I have pastored for the past 35 years. I'm married to the lovely Patricia H. Thompson, who's a retired school teacher, and we are the parents of two sons who are grown now, Reverend Dr. Patrick C. Thompson and Kendrick M. Thompson, who lives in Philadelphia. We are pleased to be able to share with you something that we have found a great benefit down through the years, and they are called the four spiritual laws. And these are the principles that you heard Evangelist Chatman talking about. We call them laws because laws work, are supposed to work the same way every time. We say that when you throw a ball up in the air, it comes down. That's a law. You throw it up on a Wednesday, it's going to come down. You throw it up on a Thursday, it's still going to come down. Throw it up at night, it comes down. Throw it up in the daytime, it comes down. It's a law. And there are four spiritual laws that govern our introduction to and our relationship with God and Jesus Christ and his spirit. And so that's what we want to talk to you about this afternoon. Let's look at the first of those laws. I'll go over them a couple of times if you might want to jot them down somewhere. Law number one says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Again, law number one says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You'll notice that this law is dual in nature. It's two parts to it, basically. First, we talk about the love of God. And when I'm dealing with converts and people that that we introduce to this law, we always ask them about how do you know when somebody loves you. And what we want them to understand is that you can know that somebody loves you by the way they act toward you. And we know that God loves us by his actions. And you say, what actions? Well, we say, well, for example, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave, stop right there, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the first part of that first law tells us about the love of God and tells us that we can measure the love of God by his actions. And his action was the giving of his only begotten son, a great action matched up with a great love. And so, again, law number one has two parts, and we just went over that first part. But the second part says, and has a wonderful plan for your life. And a lot of people, in my experience, a lot of people don't know God's plan for their life. I hope that you know God's plan for your life. I'm not necessarily mean the entire plan, but you ought to know some of that plan. And we can back up that idea of God having a plan for our life by looking at John 10 and 10. John 10 and 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we are informed of at least part of God's plan for our life. And God's plan for our life is that we might have life, true life, real life. And then it adds, John 10 and 10 adds at the bottom, more abundant life. And that does not necessarily mean material things. Material things can be included. That's not all that talks about. We're talking about an abundant spiritual life, spiritual prosperity. That'll work every time. And so, again, law number one says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And we know that that plan is life itself, an abundant life. Which brings us to that second principle. And the second principle, which tells us the nature of man and the negative consequences of that nature, the second law says, man is sinful and separated from God, cannot know God's love and plan for his life. Now we begin to understand why a lot of people don't know God's plan for their life. And like the first law, this law is dual in nature. It has two parts to it. The first part says that mankind is sinful. And if I were doing this with a slide presentation, I'd show you a slide of the whole world. Because all men, and by men we're not being gender discriminatory, but we mean people. All people are sinful. It's not mine. Opinion, that scripture, Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the emphasis is on that A-double-L. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is universal, hence the picture of the globe or the earth. All have sinned. Everybody you know, the Pope, the Grahams, Franklin Graham, even Billy Graham, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, of course, by sin, we mean the breaking of God's law, the breaking of God's or disobedience to God's plan for your life, to go back to the first law. Disobedience, and the scriptures say, and come short of the glory of God. If you trace through your Bible the definition of sin, you find that it ends up me being or saying portraying an arrow shot at a target, but the arrow doesn't go far enough, and it misses the target. That's the biblical picture of sin. As a matter of fact, if you study the book of Revelation, you'll find that the number of sin is 6, because the number of perfection or maturity or completion is 7. So if you don't make 7, you get 6, and 6 is the number of sin in the book of Revelation. So all have sinned and come short, like that arrow was short of the target. We are short of God's target for us in our lives. Not only is sin universal, there is a consequence of sin. And that consequence of sin is separation from God. As a matter of fact, most of the time in the New Testament, when you talk about death, you're talking about separation from God. Romans 6:23, the first part says, "For the wages of sin," and like I said a moment ago, most of the time that means separation from God. And with that understanding, we can find out that there are at least two kinds of separation. Death means separation of the soul from the body. We call that physical death. But that's not the worst that can happen to you. Death also means separation of the soul from God. We call that spiritual death. And that is absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. Even the children of God one day experience physical death, unless, of course, the Lord comes back first. But if the Lord has not come back, all of us will experience physical death. But that's all right, because we will be with the Lord eternally. The worst thing that can happen, as we said, is spiritual death, where you are separated from God eternally. And that's awful, especially when you consider the fact that we were created to be together with God, to be in communion with God. And for someone who was created to be in communion with God, the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to them is to be eternally separated from God. If I was showing this to you on some visual medium, I'd show you a picture of a holy God at the top and a sinful mankind at the bottom and a great gap in between. And over that gap, I'd show you some arrows going from mankind to God. And that represents our efforts to get back to God and to close that gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. And I'd show you some arrows, but none of the arrows, some arrows will be get pretty close, but none of them will close that gap because of the sin. The wages of sin is death. But if we go down to that third law, that third principle, and as I told you, that third principle concerns God's will for people to avoid those negative consequences, that separation that is caused by death, to close that gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. God has made a way. And law number 3 says, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sins. And through him, you can know God's love plan for your life. I'd like to point out to you that the second part of the third law mirrors that first law, that God loves us and has a plan for our life. But law 3 says Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. He died in our place, you know. He didn't die for his own sins, but he died for our sins. You can see that in Romans 5 and 8, which says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you read that in the King James Version, it wouldn't say demonstrate, it would say commended, but that's what it means. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you ever doubted the love of God for you, remember that that love has been demonstrated in the giving of the life of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God. And remember, he did not die for his sins, for he had none. No sin in him, no sin on him. He had no sin, but he died for my sin, and he died for your sin. But thank God he rose from the dead. Romans 14:9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Amen. When I was coming up, the preachers were trying to teach us how to preach, and they would tell us, don't leave him in the tomb. He got up from there. Confucius might still be in his tomb, and Lenin might still be in his tomb, but Jesus' tomb is empty. He got up. He got up from the tomb.
Thank God.
And because he got up from the tomb, now he is the only way to God. There's no other way. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am, notice, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say he was, notice, he didn't say, I am a way. And there are those who say in our society today that there are many ways to get to God. Many ways to skin a cat, they say. Why you want to skin a cat, I don't know, but that's what they say. Many ways to skin a cat. There are many roads to get. No, there aren't. Listen at what Jesus said. I am the way, specifically, the truth and the life. And then if you don't get that, he adds, no man cometh unto the Father. And remember now, this is Jesus talking. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Or in other words, no man cometh unto the Father except through me. There's only one way. Next time you're driving down the street and you see a little arrow on the post and it says one way, you think about it. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through the Son. If you would let your mind go back to that image that I've tried to put into your mind of a holy God at the top and a sinful man at the bottom and the arrows going from top to bottom trying to bridge that gap, and those arrows, how can I get back, they ask. And some say, I know, by going to church. Well, going to church is a good thing. But going to church does not close the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. Some say, well, I know, I'll do good deeds. I'll visit prisoners. Well, visiting those who are incarcerated is a good thing. But it's insufficient when it comes to closing the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. Some say, well, I know I'll give finances. Well, giving finances is necessary to grow the church. But don't be fooled. Giving finances are insufficient to close the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. So that one way to close the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind is Jesus Christ the righteous. That's the only way. He's the bridge. You remember Ronnie Lamarck, the car dealer, used to have commercials that said, bridging the gap. I'm bridging the gap. Well, he's not bridging this gap. The only way you can bridge the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind is through Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one who's really bridging the gap. And in this picture that I've tried to paint into your mind, you got the holy God, and you got the sinful mankind, and you got those arrows that don't quite make it. But on top of all of that, you've got Jesus Christ the righteous, and we can go over on Jesus. He's bridging the gap between a sinful mankind and a holy God. Well, that's three of those principles, which leads us to the final principle. We said in the first law, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And we said in the second law that man is sinful and separated from God, so he cannot know God's love and plan for his life. But we found good news in the third law. We said that Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sins. And through him, you can know God's love and plan for your life. Which brings us to the fourth law, which is a refining of that third law. The fourth law says you must personally receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then you can know God's love and plan for your life. You see, if you look at the bottom of that fourth law, you see mirrored the first law. God loves you and has a plan for your life. But, you know, sin blocked that for us. But now, here is how the third law started us. Here is how, in the fourth law, you can get that gap closed. You can bridge that gap. You must personally receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And then you can know God's love and plan for your life. And it says, we like to point out that word, that third word in the fourth law, personally, and point out that nobody could do this for you. Nobody could do it for me. I had to do it for myself. That is, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord for myself. And I was would have liked to have done so for my sons, but they had to do it for themselves. And maybe my wife's parents would have liked to have done so for her, but no, she had to personally receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Our old parents and grandparents were right when they told us every tub got to sit on its own bottom. Nobody can receive him for you. And to bridge the gap between the holy God and the sinful mankind, you have to receive Jesus Christ, not only as Savior. And I'd like to point out that some of us have no problem receiving him as Savior because he saves us from a burning hell. That's not rocket science. But once after we get saved, some of us want to try to go our own way.
Come on,
but he
come
has
on.
To be received as both Savior and Lord. And
yes,
Lord is the part. That's the part we have a problem with sometimes, because that he wants to tell me how to relate to my wife. He wants to tell me how to relate to my children. He wants to tell me how I'm supposed to act out on the street. He wants to tell me how I'm supposed to act at my job. He is my Lord. He has authority to do He has authority to tell me what to do. John 1 and 12 say we've got to receive Christ, receive him, receive him.
Oh, yeah.
The scriptures, John 1 and 12 say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We've got to receive, and we've got to believe. Whenever I sometimes end my sermon on with the four spiritual laws, and we had a young kid in our church named Miles, who since has moved to California. But whenever I get to the end and I'd ask that question, how you would receive, how do you would get Lord in your life, he'd raise up his hand and he'd say, receive and believe. And so, but as many as received him, that's part of it. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe, that's the other part, on his name. In other words, you want to bridge the gap between a holy God and a sinful mankind, you've got to receive him through faith. Well, what is faith? That's one of those things that you have to be careful about, because sometimes people think they have faith and they don't. Well, do you have a good definition of faith? My good friend Alvin Cotton, Reverend Cotton, gave a definition of faith that we sometimes use in our church. He said, faith is knowing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, even if it's not the first thing that he does. Did you get that? He said, faith is knowing that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, even if it's not the first thing that he does. Well, I have another definition of faith. Listen closely to this definition. If I remember correctly, I think this may have come from an old Scofield Bible that I studied. Well, what is faith? Faith is trust in the God of the Scriptures, not some other God, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. What does it do? That leads one to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We went through that. And drives one to loving obedience and good works. Now we know what we're talking about when we're talking about faith. That trust in the God of the Scriptures and in his Son, Jesus Christ. That leads one to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And drives one to loving obedience and good works. You see, if you truly have faith, then it's faith in the God of the Scriptures and in his Son, Jesus. If you truly have faith, then you move to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you truly have faith, you motivate it to be obedient to the Word of God and to do good works. Wow. What happens in a person's life when they truly have faith? Well, you've got to make a decision first. We said you got to personally receive it. You got to make a decision that you want to do it, but you can't stop with decision. You've got to move from decision to conversion. I can help you. I've helped many to make the decision. But it's not enough just to make the decision. There's got to be some conversion. Matthew 18 and 3 helps us here. Matthew 18 and 3 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. I can help you, as I said, to make the decision. I can lay it out for you and show you what's involved. But I can't convert you. I've helped many to make decisions, but I haven't converted, not one, because that's not in my power. You can only be converted from above. So I would say to you, if you've made that decision and you are open to conversion, what you need to do, if you're walking away from God, I said, if you are walking away from God. Boy, Satan loves that. If you're walking away from God, here's what you need to do. First, you hear the voice of God. You hear the voice of God. I know what you're saying. Where do I find the voice of God? You run across the voice of God all the time. When your preacher preaches, you're listening to the, assuming he's preaching the word of God, then you, when he's preaching the word of God, you are hearing the voice of God. When your Sunday school teacher teaches the word of God, you're hearing the voice of God. And quite, it is possible that you can hear him even audibly in your life, but you just better be sure that that's the voice of God, because his voice is not the only voice that's out there, trust me. So you must, if you're walking away from God, you get to hear the voice of God. What do you do after you hear the voice of God? You consider. The Bible says you need to count the cost. About it. Consider it. And after you consider, you ought to repent. We say that you got to have faith to be saved, but you also need to repent. Repent shows that your faith is true. Repent. And we like to visualize repent by an arrow. An arrow that's going down but then makes a U-turn and heads up. That's what repentance is like. John 3:19 helps us with this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent means to make a U-turn in life. For example, repentance means to turn away from evil deeds. Repent means to turn away from false worship. Repentance means to turn away from the old attitude. You know the old attitudes. I wish she'd leave me alone. I wish she'd jump in the lake. Turn away from old hatreds. I hate black people. I hate white people. I hate all people. Turn away from the old lies. I'm all right. Everything good. I'm okay. Turn away from the old lifestyle. Work, get off, get drunk, go to sleep, wake up,
come on,
go to work, get drunk, go to sleep. Turn away from the old lifestyle
and turn to
God. You started off walking away from God, but now you need to turn to God. I have to stop and warn you here. Whenever a man who was walking away from God makes that U-turn and repents and turns toward God, the devil attacks him.
Come on.
The devil attacks him. I've seen it so many times. The last thing the devil wants. Oh, by the way, there is a devil. If you've been fooled into thinking that there is no devil, that there is no Satan, he's already won the battle.
Yes, Lord.
There is a Satan. There is an enemy. And by the way, he's not so much after you. He's after God.
Yes,
and when
Lord.
I teach the book of Revelation, one of the things that we find out is everything that God has, Satan has a fake one. Did you hear me? Everything that God has, Satan has a fake one.
My Lord.
God has his church. Satan got his. God has his angels, Satan got his. Everything that God has, Satan has a fake one. So when you turn to God, be aware you will be attacked by Satan. But you'll be all right. Did you know that he can't unsave you? Satan can't unsave you. Listen, I hear in the back of my mind, I hear Jesus at the tomb saying, I've taken the sting from death. I've taken the victim from the grave. In other words, Satan can make it hard on you, but he can't unsave you. If you're born again, he can't unborn you. but he can fool you into thinking that you're not saved.
Yes,
so when
Lord.
You turn away from Satan.
Reverend Thompson,
yes.
going
yes.
to come back to you. I want to yield right here and see if we have any callers that are calling in at this time. We only have a couple of minutes left in the show. But I want to remind our callers that you, too, can join in on this topic just by pressing the number one on the phone. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Our topic today is the four spiritual law. The four spiritual law. And as our special guest, Reverend Kenneth Thompson, has been sharing so beautifully with us those principles of how we can get closer and closer and closer to God. Those of you out there that's listening and have not made up your mind to have a relationship with God, that's what today's topic is about. How important it is for you to turn your life around from the direction you are headed. Turn around. If you're walking from God, turn around and run. If I were you, I would run quickly to meet him. And we do, our co-host at this time would like to share a word on today's topic. And we're talking about laws today, concept, relationship, principles, faith, Christian, and emotion. And that word emotion, I added there, Reverend Thompson, because times we get so caught up in our self-emotion to where we cannot realize or cannot hear the voice of God talking to us. And as you so as you shared with us, we must know who's talking to us. You would know that.
Yes.
You know that you would know if you had a closer relationship with him, if you're on the good foot, in other words. You're going to know because you know the things that you're doing now, that's not the voice of God. It's telling you if you're not caught up in a relationship with God, well, you know you're not on the right track. So when you do get on the right track and that voice starts telling you, if I was you, I'd go back down there in the old ghetto where I used to drink and get drunk. And ain't nothing wrong with you doing it. Ain't nothing wrong with you doing this and doing that. Yes, it is. Because as Reverend Thompson said in Romans, we all have. And people have a problem with that scripture, Reverend Thompson. Some seem to believe, but we all sin. No, we all have sin and come short. That means that when you were, at one time, you were in the old person, you were sinning. But then you repent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that anymore. When Mary Magdalene and Jesus told her, go and sin no more. He didn't tell her, go and keep doing what you're doing, Mary Magdalene. He did not tell us that. So I want to yield right here and let our co-host come in, and then we're going to come back to our guest and let him do his closing on his lesson, co-host.
Good evening again. Praise God, praise God. God bless you, Reverend Thompson, and the beautiful sharing this evening. God bless you, Evangelist, as I'm listening in. I went back, I thought, as Reverend Thompson was so beautifully expounding and sharing so factual in accordance to the word of God on these four spiritual laws. When you think of laws, as he said in the beginning, the laws stay the same, and they're the same for everybody. So you don't get no ticket to change them or a ticket to do something different based on who you are or based on your title or based on your ethnicity. Nothing changes. It's for everybody. It's laid out, and it's the same today. And I think about Jesus. His love is the same today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And a lot of times when you look at even the word of God, people say, oh, well, listen, the Old Testament, we don't do that anymore. Well, he didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it in the new. So there's no ticket or exemption. We got to follow the whole word of God, not pick and choose what part we want. We got to follow it all. And if we fail, even as in the law, the only one that could do that and fulfill it, praise God, we're up under grace now, was the Lord. But when that blood covenant was cut, now we can go behind the veil. We can go to him. I thought about 2 Peter 3:9. Where the Lord says that the Lord is not slow in the keeping of his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And this is what the man of God is so beautifully laying out step by step. God loves us so much. He has placed everything we need in place for us to have when he laid his life down for us, and that is eternal life. So don't run away from the Lord. Examine yourself. Search yourself and run to him. Run with your arms, your heart. Let me tell you, if there's ever been a time to draw now to the Lord, all the handwriting is on the wall. It always been, but it sure enough is now. Ain't no time to run away, and play day is over. It's time to get real and right with the Lord. He always been real, always will be real, and never be a time where he's not real, because he always was, always is, and will forever be. I am truly enjoying it. This is a beautiful word. God bless the listeners. God bless you, Pastor, as I yield back to you.
God bless you, co-host. You know, I'm going to give it back to our guest on today. What come to mind with me as I walked in my goddaughter's home today? And, you know, you can talk to people. You can share the word of God. And a lot of them is not listening. Just, you know, they're not listening. And I once was like that of Reverend Thompson. I mean, I knew what I was supposed to have been doing. I was taught. I was reared up in the church, but I wasn't ready to surrender to do what it takes to be on the Lord's side. But let me tell you something, listeners out there. You don't want God to put his hands on you, because one way or another, if God has a calling and anointing upon you, you're going to do his will before he takes you up out of here. Now, you may have to come blind. You may be in a wheelchair. You may be with no arms, but one way or another, you're going to have to yield and listen to what God is telling you and instructing you to do what he wants us to do. It's not our will. Even Jesus told his father, it's your will. Your will must be done. And as I walked into her room, and she was there lying in the bed dead, and the first thing came to my mind, he said, love to drink her beer every day, every night, or whatever. I said, Lord Jesus. And she's supposed to put that breathing machine on because she had a triple bypass. And her children and her grandchildren were saying, I don't know why she didn't have a mask on. I didn't know why she didn't put a mask on. And I began to witness to them and let them know that it's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We don't know where death is. We don't know our time. We all knew what our time was and what our day was. It would be a different story. So this is why we have to be ready, listeners. Listeners, Reverend Dr. Kenneth Thompson has laid out the principles of how you can receive Christ in your life, how you can walk with him, how you can listen to him, how you can get to know him. This is a personal relationship, he's saying to you. Salvation, it's up to you. And as Joshua said to his household, choose who you may serve today. He didn't say tomorrow, he said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage our listeners out there on today, God has a calling on your life. God has something for every one of us to do. And we have to seek what thus says the Lord. And as I left out of her room, I said, Lord, I just pray that she had a business straight with you. I pray that she had time to say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive me. So see, listen, sometimes you may not have time to do it. So do it right now. This is what Dr. Kent Thompson is telling us today. We don't have time to figure out or trying to figure out what God is doing. He's going to take care of the rest. Come to him. Accept him, be sincere about it, and God lead you. He would guide you. He did it for me. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, if I had no service, Lord, I'd have been gave up what the devil had me doing. Nothing like service alone. We're going to yield back now to our guest and let him close in as he brings his lesson to a close on today. Now, listen, Reverend Thompson, if you go a little bit over 5:30 and co-host, that's okay. That's okay, because sometimes it happens, Reverend Thompson. Just finish your closing, and I'm the host giving you permission to do that, and take your time and give the listeners what God wants you to share with them on today. We'll yield back now to our guest, Pastor.
All right. I appreciate that. Have enough to finish by 5:30. We talked about how you could repent and turn to God, and we have a name for that. We call it the new birth. And if I had some visuals, I would show you a picture of a caterpillar. And right next to the caterpillar, I'd show you a picture of a beautiful butterfly. And a lot of we ought to know by now that the caterpillar, the ugly little caterpillar that we see on the tree, one day will turn out to be a beautiful butterfly. And that's how our life was. We started out ugly in sin, beautiful in righteousness. And I needed to tell you that you can, this can happen for you by personal invitation. I was invited to come on this show, and you're invited to be a member of the family of God. You can see that one of those invitations in Revelation 3:20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." That not to make have that make sense in you, you got to understand what they mean when they say sup. It means just like it says, having supper. But the point that you need to understand is that the Jews did not eat with somebody if they didn't have a close relationship with them. That's why they got mad when they saw Jesus eating with sinners. They said he must be a sinner eating with them. But created, you were designed to have communion with God. You were invented, so to speak, to be close to him. And if you become close to him, you enter into a new and intimate fellowship with God. And in that new life that he offers you, you get forgiveness of sins. Amen. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only do you have forgiveness of sins, you have fellowship with other Christians. Because, you know, by the way, you might have to lose some people when you accept Jesus Christ because they don't want to walk on that walk. They don't want to go down that path with you. But God will compensate and give you others. And if you hang in, you'll find that some of those who didn't want to walk that road with you in the beginning have come around now. Now they're on that road too.
Yes,
and
Lord.
I'm happy to tell you that if you're listening to this, you can receive Jesus Christ right now.
Yes, you
prayer.
Can. Thank you.
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
And
yes,
the prayer,
you
if you can pray this prayer and mean it in your heart, you can be saved today. And the prayer goes like this. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. I turn my back on my past sins and want to live life by your word. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Amen.
Thank you.
And as
Amen.
I said to you earlier, if you pray this prayer and mean it in your heart, if this prayer represents the way you feel, then you're saved today. You say, well, Reverend Thompson,
yes.
I haven't even been in the pool and I haven't gone to church. Being in the pool doesn't save you. You ought to get in the pool and be baptized, but
Amen.
That's not what saves you.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Baptized whenever and wherever you are. Receive Jesus Christ truly. You're baptized right then and right there by the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes,
spiritual
Lord.
Baptism. And
come on now.
That is, by the way, God's answer to the world's disunity, to the church's disunity. Because no matter what sign is on the outside of the church, God knows which ones on the inside have truly repented and accepted him into their hearts and into their lives by faith. And so I'm sorry to have to tell you, there won't be a Baptist heaven, won't be a Catholic heaven, won't
come
be a Presbyterian
now.
Heaven. It just be heaven. As your grandmother used to say, just be heaven. And everybody talks about heaven ain't going there.
Come on,
and
man.
So you thank God for forgiving your sins and giving you eternal life. And you take control of your life. And I would suggest to you that if you have prayed this prayer and accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, get to a church where the Bible is being preached. Get baptized and live every day according to his plan for your life. Remember, he said he got a wonderful plan for your life.
Lord.
My prayer is that you will say yes to him, that you will believe, and that you will receive. And this brings my presentation to an end. And I thank God for the invitation from Evangelist Chapman and from
God bless
Doris. We pray God's blessing upon you as well.
God bless you. God bless you. There you have it, listeners. You have been tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our beautiful co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. We have been listening from anointed man of God on today, Reverend Dr. Kenneth E. Thompson, here in the city of New Orleans, who's the pastor of Pleasant Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Reverend Thompson, can you let them know where your church is located in case there was a listener?
Our church is located at 3317 Toledano Street. That's at the intersection of Toledano and South Galvez.
Is there an email or those of listening all around the world, because we are international,
you can,
as well as the whole globe, give them some type of email or a contact number where they may want to connect with you after the show is over? Can you may do so at this time?
Well, we have a website, pleasantzion.org. You can tune into that website, click on that website, or you can call me at 504-343-52. That's 504-343-5252. And our services are Sunday at 11:30. You can pick us up. If you're not able to come, you can pick us up on Facebook Live.
God bless you. There you have it, listeners. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning in on today. We want to thank our special guest on today, Dr. Kenneth E. Thompson, as he brought a beautiful message on today. And listeners, I pray, Lord, I pray that someone out there that does not know God and the pardon of their sin, that they will come running saying, what must I do to be saved? And our guest on today had given us many, many scriptures and principles of how you can connect with God even today during our radio show. You had an opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And as we come to a close on today, we want to thank all of our listeners that do tune in every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30. As we bring another new guest each week. Father God, we thank you for this great opportunity that you've given us on today. Once again, Father God, you bless us, Father God, to go forth, Father God, with a man of God, Father God. Father God, you bless us, Father God, to put your word out there, Father God. And right now, my prayer as we come to a close is that, Father God, someone heard and heard and heard and heard what you have to say to your children on today. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless him and pour fresh anointing upon his life We pray that you will continue to bless our co-hosts, all of our listeners, and we continue to pray for the sick and the shut in, the ones that's in prison. We pray, Father God, for all that we're standing in the need of, that you would grant it to us right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this brings our show to an end on today. God bless you and God keep you. Goodbye now.